Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
America has a massive bread problem. It is incredibly hard to track down high-quality bread in that country. Hello and welcome to episode Lucky Number 7, Home Alone 3, Tim, Guy, Alex Pruitt, Alice Ribbons, Burton Jernigan, Earl Unger, Mr. Popre. What's
Potpourri.
Potpourri. Mr. Potpourri.
How can you spell potpourri?
Oh.
It's got to be French.
No idea.
Which means no.
I'm not even going to attempt
you know,
that.
I think I've looked this up before.
P-O-P. Popa-A. R, I, potpourri.
I think it's like P O T, P O U R R I.
That's fucked.
Should we resolve this right now? Probably. Yeah.
Nah. Leave it open. I reckon. Ooh. It's Schrodinger's spelling at this point. Neither of us are wrong, and both of us are.
I just checked. One of us is right, and he's called Guy Montgomery. How
that
the fuck
sense.
About that?
So I watched the movie in virtual well, it's not really virtual reality. It's with a VR headset though.
You went down to the cinema. Do you know, I already knew that.
That was the
I
thing.
Was in correspondence with your wife.
I told her to send you that picture.
I said, has he laughed? And she said, no.
I laughed once. You want to know when it was?
Yeah, yeah.
It was an old shining light. Things are looking up.
Ah, yeah.
And then he falls through the floor.
That is a
the beautiful.
That's
eyes
nice. It's pretty impressive to be caught off guard by a piece of slapstick you've seen six times.
Not caught off guard. It was almost recognition of my own appreciation of it previously that made me laugh, which is devastating.
Were there any moments the inverse of that where you didn't? Tim's taking out his frustration on the table. By the way, if you're wondering what that. That thudding sound is it's Tim whacking the end of his cock against the podcast table.
Yeah, sorry, I'll put that away. That's it's not kosher, is it? Things that caught me off guard, it's the attention to detail, Guy. It's the little moments that the filmmakers have put in there that you don't notice until you do. Like the fact that the crazy maybe this is obvious, actually. Maybe this is just me being a moron. But the outfit that Earl Unger is wearing after he gets electricity coursing through him and it burns through his clothes, and after Burton Jernigan gets a lawnmower that's operating fall on him because he's pulled those like those shiny dance platform shoes down,
yeah.
That's the outfit he's wearing those pants and those shoes, and he's somehow found the matching suit jacket for it.
It's a nice little example of Hughes's fish in action, where it's not something that they tease at the start of the movie and don't use later. It's something that they introduce late in the movie and continue to use throughout the rest of the movie.
To no end. It's the same. It's like the cracker that Mr. Potpourri has in his pocket. You see him putting it in there earlier in the movie. Just like, why even fucking bother to add that detail?
Well,
why do we need the origin story of the cracker?
film critics wanted to call Hughes's fish Hughes's cracker because the cracker's so heavily used and implicated. But the fact that it's actually followed through with later in the film rendered it moot, unusable. I had a moment, Tim, where I, and I haven't brought this up yet. Is it a shining light? Was yours a shining light? No, is the answer. You can't recycle shining lights, not around these ways. Also, I want to say, God willing, you and I will be watching this film fucking side saddle soon. I'm looking forward to that. That's all I wanted to say. I hate it.
Tell me your
watching,
shining light. It's like you got in the shining light vehicle, but then it was out of gas or the battery had run flat or something.
I checked the glove box and there was someone else's rubbish in there. My shining light was a piece of acting by Harveland Williams, of course, Alex's mum, another powerhouse from her, where Alex has called the police the first time and she's come home and he explains what happened. She goes, and I called the police. And she's like, you called the police? And then they're standing out in the front of their property and they're looking over where the police are arriving at the house over the road. And Alex looks up at her and she gives Alex a really warm, reassuring look that says, I'm here. Everything's going to be okay. I love you. You're my main priority no matter what. And it lasts for less than a second. Then he looks away and she looks over at the action as well. And her face immediately shifts from, I've been holding it down for my son, to, you know, quite noticeable concern. And I just thought, even though the shift is seismic enough that I've observed it, it's subtle enough that it really reads as a fantastic piece of acting and a credit to Harveland.
Well done, Catherine O'Hara. O'Hara? That's her name, mate.
Catherine O'Hara B.
Diet.
Light.
Home brand.
L-I-T-E. I found her really frustrating moments later when the cop was explaining to her that the police, calling the police is a serious business and you've got to take the police force seriously. And she is left to explain that Alex actually loves the police. And he was given a police set for Christmas last year and he really went to town on using it over his family. Not with real crimes, of course, but just like people snoring, etc., etc. That's a part of the movie that's really, to me, feeling like we don't need to be, we don't need to do that read anymore. That line doesn't need to be in there anymore.
Here's why I like that bit, because there's a couple, that's one of the examples. There's a couple of bits in this movie that shows John Hughes, the writer of this film, not the director, the writer, his blatant disregard for authority and need to mock the constabulary through cinema.
That speech.
Him. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Because it's, I think it's very funny. Because what she says is, she goes, oh, no, no, Alex does take the police seriously. And then launches into the spiel about him dressing up like a little six-year-old police officer arresting the family.
I like that angle. Eight-year-old. I, by the way, watched the first half hour of
this
movie with
Hey, hear me out. Hear me out. It was two Christmases ago.
Oh, fuck.
She says it in the line.
That is detailed and efficient summary and analysis of the Home Alone 3 world. You really know your Home Alone 3 lore.
That's what I was. Can I bring something up?
Yes.
He's shaking his head and now he looks worried. This is the beauty of video chat.
Absolutely. You can bring something up.
Who are you, Christina Aguilera?
Am I giving you mixed
messages? Voice is saying, your body's saying no, but your voice is saying let's go. Here's the thing, man. Home Alone 1. I'm going to mix up which one's which. I'm pretty sure, yeah, I think this is right. Home Alone 1, you've got the scary man across the road who's shoveling
snow. You're having
fun.
Yeah.
Home Alone 2, nice to see you. We've got the pigeon lady who's very freaky in New York City. But in both cases, you have this like growth or character arc where originally Macaulay Culkin's scared of them and then, or Kevin McAllister, and then like the end of the movie is always this heartwarming moment where the very like kind of mysterious and like urban legend figure becomes a friend, especially against the wet bandits of Harry and Marv. In this, the closest thing we've got is Mrs. Hess. But there's no, at no point is she like mysterious or evil enough for there to be a flip of it.
Yeah, they really,
and she never saves them.
The sinister angle, like she at the airport, she seems quite highly strung, and like she'd be, you know,
how does she get a lift on that thingy,
young man?
The luggage
airport
car.
Buggy. Yeah, yeah.
You got any luggage miss? No, floor it. Is that a thing? Can you just do that?
I think at a certain age and with a certain level of confidence that obviously Mrs. Hess has, you can.
Not after 9/11, though. We're not allowed to do that anymore. Not in airports.
You're not allowed to what? Fly without bags?
Ride those... No, just jump on one of those airport staff car things.
Are you allowed to fly without bags?
Sure. Absolutely. Not internationally, though. That's going to raise the eyebrows. Domestic,
that's bullshit, fine. Isn't it? What if you just what if you just buy a new set of clothes everywhere you go? That's normal. That's what a normal person would do. Go to a secondhand store, buy the clothes, sell them at a secondhand store.
Wouldn't be that expensive if you lived like that, eh? It's slightly more work, but it's also a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's baller.
Plus, you wouldn't look like a tourist anywhere because you're always dressing in the native outfits.
Yeah. What I do is I go and I buy 5 of everything at the souvenir shop on the way through the airport, like the duty free.
That's good.
I buy t-shirts that say Australia in various different shades or hues of green and yellow. I blend
and I say,
in.
That'll be $1,000. Thank you, sir.
And I say, not going to be a problem at all. I'm going to get the money back when I sell them to you guys on my way through the airport. And they say, no. And I go, well, that's okay. I'll sell them to a secondhand store. Anyway, I make about $10 back. But, yeah, Mrs. Hess, her redemption arc, or sort of the value that is extracted from her while she's set up as this eccentric sort of red herring of a heel, I guess, or an opposition in the movies, it's, again, it's not seen on camera, and it's not seen in Home Alone 4, let's get on the floor. It's in Home Alone 3.5, take a look at this staff, shove it up your ass. It's the value she provides to the families around her as the intricately knowledgeable and just, you know, invaluable advice she dispenses to married couples who are having trouble recognizing each other's sexuality.
You're getting into stuff that's off camera, though. It's barely alluded to in the film. It's only because we're very clever that we figured that out.
Yeah, we are.
It's not your typical viewer of this film.
We're fucking clever, bro. Hey, Tim. I got a real pick a path for you here. I've got two angles you can take. One of them involves you discussing the merits of an observation I make and probably eventually espousing your thoughts on psilocybin mushrooms or hallucinogens. The other is a conversation about one detective agent, Stucky.
Man, the psilocybin chat is so tempting that I detect a trap. So I want to get stuck into Stucky.
All right. Well, I've gone to the trouble of sort of outlining what an episode of Stuck with Stucky might look like.
Was that on the lost episode or was that last episode?
That was the last episode we did.
I'm pretty sure the episode that we lost my audio for was pretty middling anyway. I don't think any important business got seen to then.
I think all of the episodes are of a very high quality, but what would I know? Very little.
I'm just compared to the rest of them. This is all award-winning stuff. I think we're going to get a Pulitzer at the end of the season this time.
Yeah.
Or Pulitzer, as some people incorrectly call it.
Puling the wool over Mr. Zitz's eyes, because while this is a high-quality podcast, I don't know that we're going to be winning any awards for pulling... what do you get it for? Journalism or writing a book? That's exactly... Do you know what? I used to know, and then a very high-powered government official in America got it confused, and he got bullied for it, and then I have been caught in the muck and the mire of the confusion. Stuck with Stucky. It's your favorite sitcom. Here's the theme song. Some agents are sharp, some agents are blunt, but you've never been stuck with a useless cunt like Stucky. It's Stuck with Stucky.
That's very good, but I thought we were going with Steeler's Wheel.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so there's a closing credits song. Either way.
Okay, I like your one. I like your one a lot. It's always good to have an original theme.
What I'm imagining is a world where it's the same Chicago. Oh, it's not the Chicago office. I don't know where these offices are. Where are the FBI offices, do you reckon, Tim?
Oh, fuck. Langley.
Langley. How many high-rises you got in Langley?
3. Used to be four. Let's not get into it.
Let's not. Stucky comes into work in Langley. He says good morning to the receptionist. And then he walks into his room. He's got a conference room that he operates out of. It's full of his charges, the amnesia agents. And in front of them all, he pours himself a pipe.
I forgot what the plot of this was. That's right.
Yeah. He's got...
Very good. Okay,
An army of underlings who just, you know, they're a nightmare to corral. And he pours himself a piping hot cup of bean juice from the coffee machine. And he says to all of us, the amnesia agents, we've got a big day on our hands. There's a plan for terrorists to steal a fleet of helicopters from the helicopter building right over the way from us. And he points over the way. And one of the other three high-rises that's left in Langley is, of course, the helicopter sales building where they keep all their helicopters on the roof.
It's because sometimes the propellers take a while to start off, so you got to kind of push them off the roof, and then by the time it helps get them going.
Yeah, that's how helicopters take off. And the amnesia agents say, whoa, who are you? Who am I? What are we doing here? And he's got to go through all the fucking rigmarole of saying, I'm Detective Agent Stucky, we're at the FBI, you're an army of valuable agents, and their values increase. The amnesia is obviously frustrating, but the fact of the matter is you can give them highly classified information that is site-specific to different cases that they can carry with them for as long as they're performing their jobs, and come 24 hours from then, their memories are wiped. That is a very difficult quality to find in private eyes, spies, detectives, police officers. Anyway, it says... Who he is, we're at the FBI, you know, I'm in charge here. You guys just have to listen to me. Trust me, everything's going to be okay. And while he's doing that, he accidentally spills, because it's so hot he can't really drink much. He spills some of his 3/4 full cup of coffee on his white shirt. And so he goes to continue talking. He's in flow. He goes to continue saying, so anyway, let's get to it, guys. We've got to keep an eye on this building. All of the amnesia agents, they no longer recognize him because of the coffee stain on his shirt. And they keep going, who are you? You're not Detective Stucky. And he's going, no, I am. I'm Detective Stucky. And they go, no, we don't know who you are. Detective Stucky was wearing a clean white shirt. Who's this guy? And Stucky goes, oh, nuts. And he has to leave. He leaves the conference room. And he goes down to the toilets. And he's in the bathroom, and he's cleaning himself up, and he's obviously instructed all the amnesia agents to continue waiting for him. And he's cleaning him, and it's one of those stains where the more you scrub it, the wider the stain gets. It's not actually cleaning through the stain. If anything, he's creating a brown shirt. And he keeps cleaning it and cleaning it, and he goes, oh, this is no good at all. And eventually he takes his shirt off. So he's now just wearing his under-singlet and his tie. And he goes back to the conference room, and he walks in there, and he goes, all right, guys, it's me, Detective Stucky. And they go, you're not Detective Stucky? And he goes, yeah, I am. And they go, no, Detective Stucky was wearing a white shirt. And he goes, oh, I got coffee on that. And they go, no, there's a different agent wearing a coffee stain shirt. And he goes, no, guys, you got to listen. They're going to steal these helicopters. And they go, oh, he's here to steal the helicopters. Get him. And all of the amnesia agents, they pout on Detective Stucky. And then Stucky's underneath this mess of these amnesia agents. And then his boss comes in, whoever that is, and he leans through and he sees behind the mess of bodies and Stucky pinned underneath them trying to defend himself, he sees a fleet of helicopters taking off from the office building over the way. And he goes like this. He goes, Stucky! Some agents are sharp, some agents are blunt, but you've never been stuck with a useless cunt like Stucky. It's stuck with Stucky.
I'd watch that.
Well,
it sounds like an Adult Swim. It sounds like something Tim and Eric would make. It sounds like Beef House, but a cop show.
What is Beef House?
It's fucking good. I watched the first episode the other day. It's basically like Full House, but if you kind of were on mescaline.
Sounds good. I've watched Full House quite stoned. Don't know about all that.
How was what the reboot or the OG?
The OG. I went right back to the beginning, and it's interesting.
Isn't it dark how the whole thing is premised on their mum having just died, right? That's why the two, Jesse and Joey. Wait,
yeah.
Joey?
The first episode, you see Bob Saget's mum leaving. So she's been supporting the family. And right. He's like, he's ready to, you know, get on with his life. And she's like, I stick around. And the kid's like, oh. And he's like, no, mum, you got to go. And she's like playing the kids off, being like, they need me. Anyway, they leave. And then Joey and Jesse moves in, and Jesse gets his own room. And Joey's like given a fucking rollout underneath the stairs.
Classic.
And then sort of chaos ensues from there. Bob's got to go down to the radio station because that's his job. And then the uncles are left to look after the kids. And some late 80s, early 90s version of hilarity.
Yeah.
Ensues.
Do you remember when Danny Tanner landed the Good Morning San Francisco TV show?
Within the series.
Yeah, it's fucking, it's a huge move for him. It's really good. I was so happy for him.
I guess that would change the hours he keeps. That would have an impact on the home life. I would hope that they covered that sort of thing in the sitcom. Did they do that, Tim?
He was doing breakfast radio, wasn't he? So it'd probably be pretty similar hours. And I think that Aunt Becky was like co-anchoring with him on the like Wake Up San Francisco or something.
Would you watch a news show anchored by siblings?
they're not siblings, because I think Jesse is
John Stamos,
Danny's widow's brother.
That's right.
And Aunt Becky is not related by blood to any of them, because I think that's just Jesse's partner, right?
Oh, does Jesse get a partner?
Wait, is that right?
I think it might be.
How does Aunt Becky fit in?
Well, either way, I'm less interested in sifting through the Full House lore to make sure that we've got
Aunt
the
Becky's
family tree. No,
hold on.
Tickety
fucking
boo.
Now that we're here, Aunt Becky's the one who went to prison for like paying to get her kid into college, right?
Oh, no, I thought that was Oh yeah, no, she is. I always think of Felicity Huffman.
Yeah, there's a few of them though.
Yeah, that's so funny. You're rich.
Yeah, it's a funny reason to
Your
go to prison.
Your kid doesn't have to go to that college. You fuck. Anyway.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Would you be more or less likely to watch a news show anchored by siblings?
Probably more, just because it's an interesting angle that I haven't seen before. I'm trying to think of a single dang show that's been anchored by siblings. Okay, none's coming to the top of
my dome. The
Osmonds. Nice.
And there was a really good twist on that one, because they were siblings who fucked each other.
Whoa, dude, that's not true. That's not what happened.
And if that's
if
that's the sort of thing you like, I got to tell you, you got to check out something called porn.
Donnie and Marie Osmond like that? That's disgusting. They entertained America for decades, you fuck. What have you ever done?
I've watched Home Alone 3 7 times. You fucking asshole. What have you done with your life?
Man, you mentioned this earlier. It was like a trip to the movies. It was such a shit sandwich, because I put it on and just the novelty of like a big screen experience was like I was back at the movies, which was thrilling considering we've been locked indoors for so long. I'm so craving going to the cinema. It'd be so nice.
Aren't we all, man?
But then it got revealed that the big screen movie I was treated to was Home Alone 3 again. And that was tough to take.
What was the last movie you saw at the cinema before the world changed?
That's a good question. I can't remember. Probably something quite like popcorn-y, big, like a Marvel or something.
Yeah. Was it good? Did you enjoy the experience?
I can't remember what it was. I think it was something... Oh, this probably wasn't the last one, but I saw the Birds of Prey, Harley Quinn.
Oh, yeah. And you quite liked it.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, it was all good. It wasn't... You know, it had a few little bits that irked me, but I thought it was really fucking cool because it was just balls out.
I went and saw a movie.
Anyway, we're not here to talk about that film.
I saw a movie called The Lighthouse. I went by myself to the cinema.
You went to The Lighthouse by yourself? That must have been rough.
Have you seen it?
No, I've seen the shorts for it, though. It looks very beautiful. It's black and white, right? With,
yeah, it's black
my
and white. It's...
face sake, Willem Dafoe.
Yeah, Willem Dafoe. And hey, I've never seen that. Yeah, dude. Hardcore. Willem Dafoe and Robert Pattinson. And it was a weird movie to see. In fact, someone on our YouTube pilot has commented beneath it saying the New Zealand remake of The Lighthouse looks pretty good. It's these two guys who they're pulling a month-long shift on this remote lighthouse on an island off of New England. And then they never get relieved. And so they're just there for an open-ended. It's probably a bit of a presage for some of the times some of us find ourselves in. But it was...
Here's what I want to talk to you about, Guy. There's a parrot in Home Alone 3, and it is oh so smart, but even smarter than we first thought, because at the end of the movie, after sort of joining in on all the chicanery with Alex Pruitt to trick all the bandits, well, they're not bandits this time, bandits are just that they're like lovable rogues who are, you know, putting some trinkets or a woman's jewelry into a sack marked with a dollar sign on it. These guys are gun-wielding maniacs trying to chase down a missile chip.
Yeah. Outfoxed but the parrot's by an 8-year-old.
And a very smart parrot.
That's the name of my autobiography, by the way.
What's that?
Outfoxed by an 8-year-old and a very smart parrot. And it's all about how one time when the world went into a global quarantine, I decided to watch Home Alone 3.
Doesn't make for a riveting blurb, but
no,
I guess it's
going to be a failure.
I'd pick it up if it was in the bargain bin. The bird in the end... ends up bargaining with Mr. Potpourri. And asking for two crackers in place of the one that, thank God the filmmakers showed us has been in his pocket the whole time. That did really bug me.
Hughes's cracker. I'm familiar with the concept.
And then, but here's the kicker, right? We've already seen Mr. Potpourri break that toy car, and that's the thing that the parrot rides in and out of the igloo on. So he reassembled the toy car and got the controller and strapped that onto it and then got on top of that and drove it around.
That is that's fucking a shit-talking parrot. Man. It's not just smart, it's fucking specific. That is such a strong way to fuck with someone who is going down. While we're in the igloo and dealing with Mr. Potpourri and the parrot, I'd also like to talk about the power of Stan's fireworks. From what we see, Alex digs into a tiny little sort of toolbox assortment of loose end fireworks that he laces this igloo that's inexplicably on the property with. The explosion sends chunks of ice and in an entire paddling pool or something that's inside. Absolutely flying. I would love to know where Stan gets his shit. Yeah.
Stories in the sky. About three or four stories, this paddling pool gets launched.
It's absolute insanity.
The guy's dead. That's what I thought this time when I watched it. I was like, wow, that guy's dead.
But he's not. The guy is... where does he wind up? He winds up... He goes to prison. They all go to prison. And what I love about all the mugshots they do, that's how the movie closes for anyone who's not familiar or curious or any of the above... They all go to prison, and while they're in their jumpsuits, you can also see they've all got the chicken pox, because none of them had caught the chicken pox when they were kids, obviously, so they've all caught them. And
That's very dangerous, because I think Mr. Potpourri must be pushing 45, 50.
Yeah, I would argue that the makeup artists took that last day off work. This is one of those films that was shot chronologically, and by the time that they were doing the credit sequence, a lot of production weren't there, because these are some of the most hokey-ass chicken pox I've seen in a movie that is littered with the worst fucking chicken pox makeup I've come across, really.
Which is crazy when you consider how much budget's been spent on the tricks and the goofs and the stunts and the trampolines and whatnot. and the fireworks, the pyrotechnics.
Can you give me a budget breakdown, Tim, in terms of what we see on camera, percentage-wise, what goes into the booby traps, what goes into paying the actors, what goes into set dressing, etc., etc.?
I think I looked up how much this movie cost. Do you remember what I said?
No.
Does 35 mil sound... I think it was
sounds,
more than that.
It sounds ballpark.
Let's say it's 35. I reckon 10 is cast, 10 is stunts, 10 is chicken pox makeup, and $5 million goes to John Hughes for writing it. Everyone else is on points.
Wow. That's crazy distribution. It's incredible this got made. Was no one in a union?
Not in the mid-90s, man. It was the Wild West out there in Hollywood.
Yeah, an absolute...
Wild West Hollywood.
An absolute fuck fest. This is the horniest season of the podcast we've done, and I will take 85% of the responsibility for that. Tim,
I'm glad you're
there's
taking
a quote...
Hey, while we're speaking about Mrs. Hess...
Yeah, oh, we weren't, but I like that that's where your mind goes when you're thinking of being horny because of Home Alone 3.
How crazy is it that no one checked if she had had the chicken pox or not when she was going to babysit Alex and already had? She's quite old.
I reckon they've already cleared that off camera. The assumption is that all the adults have had the chicken pox. Like that last, there's a button, that last chicken pox reveal.
Alex seems to be asking it pretty earnestly and she takes a moment to think about it.
Mm.
It's not like I told you earlier, Alex.
I would love to crush with anyone as hard as she crushes with her Herbert Hoover joke. It shits me to this day.
You never will.
Thanks, bro. I've got a question for you. This is a quote from the movie, and when I heard it, I thought about it, and I thought, this is bigger than Home Alone 3. This is an interesting observation. It's one that's true, and it's analogous to the experience of taking hallucinogens and, you know, set and setting and whether or not you're going to have a good time or a bad time. After Alex has rattled off, this is, you know, Hughes' fish in terms of advertising. He's a precocious kid. He's rattled off a variety of things he could hypothetically be afraid of or could concern him while he's home alone without the chicken pox. He says, "What about my imagination?" And the mum, Harveland Williams, says, "Only you can control your imagination." And Alex says, "That's a scary thought." Would you say that, can you identify that experience at the start of a trip or within a trip when your mind starts throwing throwing stuff up at you and you're like, why is this happening? And you're like, oh, well, because I'm doing it to me. And then you think, oh, that's not good.
As long as you've got that knowledge, I reckon that's good knowledge. That's powerful knowledge because it means you've got the toolkit to get out of it. It means if you made it, you can take it away.
So long as it's happening to you, by you, and you...
I think it's empowering.
Mm. You're a big fan of moving towards the challenge, eh?
Oh, you should. Everyone should be. You have to be. That's how you have a bad trip. Like,
you fight
rule one. If you start fighting stuff, you're fucked.
So is
it's not going to work.
Is every thought occurring for a reason?
You got to make the mindset that is true in the moment. You got to go, yeah. Just say yes to everything.
Just
the old thing is, it's like if there's a set of stairs, climb them. If there's a door, open it. If there's a monster, find out what it wants. Everything's there to teach you something.
Yeah.
And if you start getting scared of the monster or start trying to get rid of the monster, you're going to have a bad time.
Yeah.
You need to engage with it.
You made it. How bad can it be?
Tango with the monster.
Also, there's another quote that he said, which is, he's wise beyond his years, this kid. He says, when his mum apologizes for something, and he says, it's okay. It's not you.
It's the times.
It's the times.
Yeah. It's when she says, I'm so sorry, honey. I hate to be coming in and out like this all the time. And as he's putting her coat on a little cute set of stairs so that they can look eye to eye in the kitchen, which we kind of assume is there so he can make his own lunch, while he's continuing to spread the jam on a PB&J sandwich that his mum has started making for him, he says, don't worry, Mom, it's not you, it's the times.
I can't remember if it's something I brought up, but every time she says, I'll make you a sandwich, I think, fuck, this kid's going to get an absolute belter of a sandwich. And every time she just undoes the lids on the PB&J. And I'm like, don't fucking tell me you're going to make me a sandwich and then do the bare minimum.
That's a marketing scheme, eh? Americans have been shortchanged by this very successful advertising campaign that putting peanut butter and jelly on white bread constitutes a sandwich suitable for a child. That is so lacking in any kind of nutrition, it actually makes me worried to think about that. That has been normalized as part of the culture. It is incredibly high in sugar. I mean, white bread by itself, you know, you want to go easy on while you're a kid.
America,
you're just putting raw fucking jam on that?
America has a massive bread problem. It is incredibly hard to track down high-quality bread in that country. I pretty much stopped eating the stuff while I was there.
Really? Do they not have just normal run-of-the-mill brown bread as a matter of course?
They do, but it's all full of sugar and it tastes like shit. They've got no respect for bread. And
that's fucked. It's a staple.
Yeah, it's at the bottom of the fucking pyramid.
Which is another scam I want to talk about. That fucking food pyramid was made by Big Bread.
Yeah, which is a staple, by the way. Unrelated.
I'm not even kidding. That's true. The fucking food pyramid, the one that we're used to, was invented by bread makers to sell more bread.
That's legendary.
Why the fuck would carbs be on the bottom and not vegetables?
It's legendary. It is legendary that they did that. Like, what? That's like, what is Big Bread worrying about? It's like Coke running a smear campaign on budget cola. You've got
or
this.
On water.
Yeah,
it's like Coca-Cola coming out against normal drinking water. It's just, it's beyond the pale. But it's that kind of aggressive move that fucking shifts units, eh?
Yeah.
That's how you get to be one of the big
Sure, boys. You should drink water from time to time, but it's no replacement for Coke.
Yeah, you want to watch yourself. You're filling yourself up with valuable Coke space on that pesky water. You want to save yourself for Coke. Make sure you put Coke in the Coke space.
Yeah, don't be a fucking idiot.
Hey, that intrigues me that bread's fucked in America. Didn't know that.
Well, the more you know, Tim.
We've got good bread here, eh?
Dude,
we're proud of our bread.
Everyone's making their own bread now. Bread is like, bread underlines everything. I was just thinking then, how the fuck can bread be making a comeback? It hadn't even gone anywhere. Yet everywhere I turn, it's like, oh, bread's big now. I'm like, oh, it's big now? What the fuck have you been eating in the morning the last 30 years?
There was a blip when there was a lot of dietitians and stuff coming out against carbohydrates and whatnot.
Dude, the big three for me, bread, milk, and eggs. Make your fucking mind up. My whole life, I've just been hearing, you got to have a lot of this. Whoa, easy on that stuff.
Who's swinging out against milk?
I don't know. Big almond.
Those cucks. Tell them to take a bike ride.
Yeah. What, you're telling me a milk almonded this? I don't know. I was trying to do a joke.
We're fucked, eh? We shouldn't do this podcast like at night in what feels like a winter night, but it isn't quite yet. It's autumn, but it's all like cold. We've been locked indoors for weeks, and we're just sitting around watching Home Alone 3 again. It's fucked.
I went for an ocean swim today.
Was it rejuvenating?
It was so good. The only problem with my day was I had to drive quickly back an hour from a beach on the west coast of the North Island of New Zealand, because that's when I had to start watching Home Alone 3. But the swim,
you gotta get on it.
God. Yeah, by the way, if you're listening and you haven't seen Home Alone 3, check it out. Be sure to check it out. My boy Alex Pruitt, fucking...
great movie.
Great times. How do you think we are
it's
going?
It's a lot of fun... What?
How do you think we're going, like mentally, right now?
Not good. Not an all-time high. It was no episode 5, tell you that. Fuck, the heady heights of episode 5. My God.
Dreams
are
free.
My word.
Ah, you live and you learn.
Do you want to say anything about Mrs. Hess, or are you good? You started saying something about how horny this movie was, and I thought you were going to get into a Mrs. Hess diatribe, but then I interrupted you.
Here's the thing with Mrs. Hess. She gets it. She gets it. She gets it. She gets it. In a way that a lot of people weren't getting in 1997, in a way that a lot of older people, octogenarians, weren't getting in 1997, she is an open-minded whiz. She's a minx. She's pansexual. She is not above inserting herself into situations or relationships for the betterment of the group. I got a lot of time for her.
What's going on with her at that airport, man?
Oh, dude. What do you reckon? She's coming back from San Francisco. She's so lightheaded she can't remember to fucking pick up her bag of bread on the other side of security.
But is the situation that she has zero luggage, but she bought a loaf of bread to bring back? Like, that seems kind of...
legendary.
I don't know, like the symptoms of someone suffering from dementia, perhaps.
Absolutely not. It's the symptoms of someone who knows that you can't get high quality bread in the Midwest. Illinois is a fucking dead land for bread. It's the behavior of someone who has spent 7 days absolutely on ding-a-lings, pingers, uppers, downers, whizzes, sucking and fucking her way through San Francisco. She made it to the airport. She picked up a loaf.
It's a very liberal area. It's a very liberal part of the country. One must partake.
It's a tax write-off. It's called a research trip. She knows what she's doing. That bread represents the sanctity, the security, and the comfort of her home life in the upper middle class suburbs of Chicago. Okay? It's not just a loaf of bread. It's a fucking lifestyle. That's what's going on with Mrs. Hess.
All right, good. Asked and answered, Your Honor. Well, I think that'll about do it for us. But rest assured, this movie doesn't get any better when it is strapped right in front of your eyeballs in a device that is emulating kind of three dimensions, but more just bigness. It's a device emulating bigness.
That's what big movie will do to you. It's been a pleasure. It's been a privilege. To have your company, Tim. To have your company, listener.
Things to look at. Oh, wait, did I do a shining light?
Sort of. No, you just dug up an old shining light.
It was the parrot. Like, the parrot is what it was in my head, but I don't think I said that was the shining light. But it's the fact that the parrot reassembled the car. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's a good move. It's petty. I respect it. Hey, look after yourselves, everyone. And also go fuck yourselves.
But the hijinks don't stop. And the poop jokes. Then I said, who's discount David Schwimmer? Then he said, and the score is great. Then I said, the main bad guy? And he said, the brother and the twin combo.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.